From WXXI News, this is the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in the hamlet of Pulteneyville, half an hour east of Rochester or so, up near the Big Lake. And Pulteneyville was home to a restaurant simply named the Pulteneyville Grill. For years, it was destination dining for many Western New Yorkers. So when the grill recently closed, it left a hole in the small community of fewer than 700 people. Who could fill that space? Would it be equally compelling? And the answer has come from two people intricately tied to Rochester's food scene, two among others. They happen to be the ones in studio with me. First, in July, Swilly's opened in Pulteneyville, a walk-up window offering casual seafood dining, lobster rolls, fried seafood, tots, chips, hot dogs. Inspiration partly from Cape Cod, of all places. But the guys behind it have become pure Rochester. Brian Van Etten runs the Playhouse and Swillburger. He's had plenty of experience opening restaurants on tight time schedules. And in just a few weeks in Pulteneyville, he has been selling out of lobster. So we're going to talk about that, among many other things. What about the old Pulteneyville Grill upstairs? Well, the new restaurant is the Owl House. That's the second iteration of the popular restaurant of the same name. It's become a Rochester staple. So the Owl House in Pulteneyville, going to be known as Owl House on the Lake, has only been open really for a few days, but they are off and running. And for those who live and work in Pulteneyville or in that area, this is an important moment. Creative dining options have become part of the fabric of that small community, and the locals certainly want it to work. There's a lot going on there. So this is a Pulteneyville hour, and if you have not been to Pulteneyville, the man who's sitting across from me, Peter Parts, brought a picture. Who took that picture, Peter Parts?
That was taken by one of the doctors in Webster.
It's great radio to talk about a picture, isn't it? But listen, it is this beautiful...
Yeah, Dr. Back took it.
This beautiful shot, this almost Elysian-looking scene, just this perfectly reflected creek. Is that Salmon Creek?
It's like this all the time when you come.
It is. Beautiful, verdant setting, Salmon Creek there, almost like a mirror reflecting the glass off. And then on our right, big red building, and Peter, that's...
That is the actual old barn that was completely redone for you guys. And so the bottom part of it is Swilly's, the top part is the Owl House, and then you have Nan with the Artisan's Loft right there, too, which is another fun place to visit.
So just a beautiful scene there, and Peter is the former owner of the Pulteneyville Grill and owner of the Pulteneyville Docks on Salmon Creek, which is what we're seeing here, a series of docks, boat slips there. You live just a couple miles away, is that right?
2 miles down the road, 3 minutes away.
So you're essentially a Pulteneyviller.
We're close.
Pulteneyvillian. What is it?
Deb.
He just turned to his wife, Deb Parts, who's co-chair of the Pulteneyville Home Tour. What do you call yourself, a Pulteneyvillian? Close enough?
Yes, close enough.
And were you regulars at the old Pulteneyville Grill? Of course you were. You owned it.
We were there a lot.
Not just working.
No. Also, we ended up selling it to Tom and Sherry, and they ran it for 5 years, did a great job. And we're so excited to see these guys in town. I mean, it's such a great place, and it's really the local watering hole. Everybody goes. It's the common ground for everybody to get together. And we've missed it, and we're so happy that the Owl House is opening. We were there this past weekend and had a great meal. And so anyway, we're ecstatic that they're bringing it back.
Well, Deb is going to tell us about the Pulteneyville Home Tour later this hour, because I guess it's a hamlet, right? It's technically within Williamson, the town of Williamson, is that right?
That's correct.
All right, so if you don't know where we're talking about, again, it's about a half hour east of Rochester, easy to get to on 104 most of the way, and this is the spot that, I don't know if Jeff and Brian figured that's where they would be next year. I mean, Jeff, Owl House is enough of a lift for you in Rochester. How did you end up looking at Pulteneyville for your next location?
Back in April, I think it was, our landlord for the Playhouse was interested in buying the property. And he had spoken with Tom and Sherry, and I guess they weren't very interested in continuing the grill out there. So he was kind of in a bit of a position where he needed a restaurant to move in, and he asked me to come up and look at it. And honestly, I resisted multiple times and said, no, I don't have time. I finally relented and went to check it out and fell in love.
What specifically hooked you the most there?
Pulling down around, you cross a bridge as you cross over Salmon Creek and you pull into the parking lot, and the little marina there just opens up, and all the sailboats were still there, dry docked, and there was still snow on the ground, and it really reminded me of my time spent living in Boston, and just it was, that was really nice. So just that moment.
And Brian, when did you get out there for the first time? Had you dined there before?
I had not dined there before. Okay. And Jeff was pestering me often. You got to come out. You got to come out. Check this place out. And, you know, Playhouse and Swillburger, operating that business is a handful. There's multiple components to it. There's games always breaking down. There's staff always sick.
And how many arcade games do you have there?
We're up to about 35 or 38 right now. It just keeps growing, and our seating capacity keeps getting diminished somehow.
It's
a terrible business model.
It's a great business model. Nobody can come here and sit, but you have all these arcade games, and they're probably kind of a pain.
Most of them are. We've been fortunate to pair with an incredible company who brings some in for us and does all the maintenance on the spot. It's how they make a lot of their annual, you know, revenue. So if there's ever a problem with a game that they maintain, they're there instantly. But then there's the games at Playhouse from 1976 that when they go down, getting a part is virtually impossible. So you hire one of a few people to come in and, you know, tie some rubber bands to this piece and solder some wires to that piece and cross your fingers and hope for the best. Typically, the repairs last about a week, and then something else goes wrong with the game.
So, listeners, what Brian is talking about, by the way, if you haven't been there, Playhouse and Swillburger is where and has been open for how long?
We've been open for about 18 months now. It's on the corner of South Clinton Avenue and Meg Street, just across from the South Wedge neighborhood, in the neighborhood that's called Swillburg, which is why we named the burger joint Swillburger.
And you were thinking, you know, it makes total sense for me to then be distracted with something out in Colton.
Yeah.
So what happened when you went out there?
So Jeff, he persisted. It was a couple weeks, and I just said, no, I'm not interested. We got enough going on. You got way too much on your plate. Finally, you know, the timing was right. He said it was the day of. He didn't tell me, but he said, oh, I told John Tricky, our landlord, we're coming down today. And I said, all right, whatever. I wouldn't mind getting away for an hour. Went down, walked upstairs, saw what was to become the Owl House on the Lake spot, and it was gorgeous. It was phenomenal. The kitchen was big. It was spacious, but I wasn't interested. It just seemed like too big of a project for me personally, for where my headspace was at the time. So I, you know, politely declined, and we're leaving the building. We're going out the back entrance, and we stumble past a 10-foot by 10-foot space that had a 4-foot-long, beautifully unused exhaust system in it. And I stopped and I said, you know, wait a minute, what's this? You know, what is this? And what did they used to do here? And it looked like they'd done nothing because the exhaust system looked like it had never been used. Well, what could we do in this space? Now you're talking. Now I see a space that I feel like I could produce something and create something and turn around a product in the type of time frame that the ownership of the building was looking for. Then you quickly see these two windows that lead outside, and this was just a dream come true. I am a diehard, fast, casual, easy concept guy. I'm kind of, for better or for worse, done with wait staff. I want to be a part of a restaurant and ownership that is as streamlined as can be. And what is more streamlined than having your cooks take the orders, your order takers being your cooks? So virtually seeing these two windows that when you open, look out to that same picturesque view that Jeff was talking about of, the sailboats, just the water, just trees everywhere, you know, it was impossible to say no. So seeing that space was inspirational. We decided we'd come up with a concept for it. And after a few iterations, you know, we went from a Swillburger outpost. We thought about the pros and cons, how that could be functional or how it might not be. And we quickly pivoted to what our current concept is now, which is more of a seafood based, and ultimately at this point, it's just a lobster roll place.
That's all we're doing. No, let me read from Tracy Schumacher in the Democrat and Chronicle, because when I read this, I thought, this is also a good business model. Open a lobster place and not have enough lobster. She writes, since its opening, Swillies has been struggling to keep up with demand for its lobster rolls. It has set up a lobster hotline so that customers can check on the availability of lobster before making the trip out to Pulteneyville. And she puts the number. Is that true?
It's absolutely
true.
What is
the lobster hotline?
Oh, I don't know the number off the top of my head.
I do. Yeah. I've got it. 315-904-4138.
Okay, so you call that number and there's a voicemail, and I don't know who it is right now, but it's one of our staff members, maybe me, who's leaving a message telling you whether or not we do have lobster in-house. Now, this wasn't the plan. The plan was we'd offer 5 options of different foods in this little tiny kitchen, and it'd all be perfect, and people would all choose equally from these options. But Tracy Schumacher rolls around and writes a a very focused Schumacher article. and next thing you know, that's what people came to see us for. And so that's what the demand became. It was not what we planned on. And thus we ran out of things directly after. She's written subsequently two other like addendums to that article, which have continued to completely punish us. You know, there's
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. You're getting amazingly good reviews in your first month.
I appreciate
it. What a disaster. Let me read this, by the way, just so all of our listeners can now make your life even harder. This is what Tracy wrote. The main attraction for me was the lobster roll, because let's face it, a really good one is almost unheard of in Rochester. A lettuce-lined top-split toasted bun from Flower City Bread was loaded with large chunks of lobster that had been cooked from live Maine lobsters, tossed with a smattering of celery, and coated with a whisper of mayo. It was summer in a paper boat. Not summer in a glass, by the way. Summer in a paper boat. It came with a side of crispy potato chips for $17, a price that made me wonder whether there could be any profit margin baked into that roll at all. It turns out the owners have wised up and will likely charge $20 when we get to the end of July, and she says, I would happily make the drive to pay that price. Now, she did say that equally as tasty was the mixed seafood fry, which, have you given up on that altogether?
So, not altogether, but it has become, it cycles in and out at this point. At this point, the menu is so limited, it's absurd, but it's
give me the whole menu then.
The menu is, we get hot dogs from Schrader Farms in Romulus. All of our buns are from Keith at Flower City and his crew. We do a lobster roll. We do a vegan lobster roll, which is tofu-based, and surprisingly, to a lot of people, pretty incredible. If we call it not a lobster roll, because it's definitely, it's not. But besides that, we do waffle fries, homemade potato chips, ice cream sandwiches from Eat Me Ice Cream, and then we'll do a seafood dish that rotates in and out, and that's the end of it.
And you are literally dealing with that will you or won't you have lobster question.
Yeah, incessantly, and we're doing great with it. You know, we had our first weekend the weekend before, where we made it all the way through Sunday. It was a milestone for us, but unfortunately, last week we were right back to, it's incredible. We didn't expect, when Jeff and I were talking about potential, like sales volume, what we do out here, when we were kind of building this business, we were 10 to 20 times, kind of underappreciating what we'd see. So when we thought we'd average these modest days, it's insane. We have a line of 40 people waiting at 11:30, a half an hour before we open, and they're all ordering one thing. So, the business has been a surprise to us. The locals have been nothing but supportive. We see, in my estimation, about a 75% local or, Williamson, Pulteneyville percentage, and maybe a 25% drive out from Rochester or elsewhere. And a lot of people are back on a weekly basis,
I think that's what sounds like the old Pulteneyville Grill was. I mean, I know a lot of people who don't live anywhere near Pulteneyville who would make that destination once a year at least, often in the summer, but would love to make that kind of trip. And in later in this hour, because what we want to do today is broaden the summer of food outside of just the city limits. We've been talking a lot about Rochester food culture, but we're taking you to Pulteneyville today. We're going to go out to Leroy, which has a lot of interesting things going on there in a couple of weeks. And it's good to kind of get some destinations on your mind. So Peter and Deb are going to kind of give us some ideas on if you're planning a day in Pulteneyville, if you want to do the home tour, if you want to check out more sites. So we're going to have a chance to kind of take you through if you're going to visit and you haven't been out there. But I want to hit one other point that Brian raises here, which is you talk about your love of fast casual. And for me, yeah, you know that term. But for me, usually when I understand what a trend is long enough to put a term on it, the trend's over. That's how up to date I usually feel.
Sure.
And so, of course, here's the headline that comes from Bloomberg, June 1st, Bloomberg News. Here's the headline. Leslie Patton writes, America's fast casual dining boom is over.
Whoops.
Let me read this.
We don't know that in Pulteneyville yet. No, don't worry.
No. Let me read this, because when I read this, I thought, I think what Brian is doing is different. I think local, fresh, fast, casual is a little different than what we're talking about, and here's why. So let me read from her piece. She writes, defining fast casual dining is fresh ingredients, no tipping, sleek design made fast casual restaurant a darling of millennial customers that every business strives to attract. Now, She says the boom is over. That doesn't mean fast casual is over. She means the growth explosion is over. Here's why. She says the category's once enviable growth looks like it's hit a plateau. This year, U.S. fast casual sales growth will slow to between 6% and 7% from 8% last year. That's according to the industry consultant Pentelect, Inc. And in each of the prior 5 years, sales had grown between 10 and 11%. Bob Golden is a Chicago-based Pentelect partner, and he says the segment has become saturated and has some issues. There are some signs of maturity. They define fast casual as the Boston markets, the Einstein brothers of the world that really took off in the 1990s. That was fast food, but better than McDonald's. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I don't necessarily think of the Playhouse and Swillburger and Swillies as necessarily the same as Panera. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, there are similarities. And in my mindset, the main similarities are trying to do fresh, trying to do high quality, and trying to keep it as simple as possible for both the guest and also for the employee. You know, part of it is just the streamlining nature of the fast casual business, and in my opinion, just makes it, you know, foolproof to an extent, and it makes everyone's life a lot easier, and it does take out a lot of, you know, a lot of anxiety and frustrations at times. You know, the average restaurant sees a lot of problems. It's a huge set of gears and moving parts. And the more you can slim that down and yet still provide a high quality product, you know, I think that's just as a better idea.
Or just offer one thing.
True.
Like you do. Yeah, that's like the simplest you can get.
You know, that's what I'm hoping for.
No, I think so much of what Brian says makes sense here, because if you go really broad with fast casual as a category, then you rope in the Paneras and the Einstein Brothers. And Swillies and Swillburger are so different than that. You feel good about supporting a local business that's not a chain. This is a business, and Brian has talked on this program before, about working, whether it's the Headwaters of the world or other local purveyors, Flower City, mm-hmm. trying to stay as local as you can. Local lobster right out of Salmon Creek, that's not true. But, I mean, but you know, as close as you can get it, and then supporting that in a way that you're literally handing money to people who might even be the proprietor. That's different to me than like a Panera. And I did want to ask you if you agree with the no tipping thing.
No, I don't agree with it. You
that's
know,
right.
That's it. It the tipping, you know, I don't know if all of America is ready for no tipping yet, or, you know, I know you've had this conversation at least twice on your show.
Well, the
before.
Broader conversation is whether we're going to see no tipping the way they do in Europe, which is a raise in the price, but
right.
then no, essentially an assumption of no tipping.
If I thought that Rochester was ready for that, then I would be fully on board with that. But to me, it's about the employee and just trying to impose that on the average Rochesterian right now. I don't think I do think we'd get a little bite back and some confusion. And we already have prices that are on the higher end at Playhouse and Swillburger because of the products we source to use there. You know, it's a very delicate balance of trying not to alienate your customer base, but also take care of your staff. You know, tipping right now does make up a good percentage of both my kitchen and counter staff at Playhouse.
And what about Swillies?
At Swillies as well. Yeah, we take tips and it just gets distributed amongst everyone who works based on their hours. And that's another one of the benefits I find to fast casual is that there's often a division of, you know, the front of house versus back of house in most traditional restaurants. And there's often a lot of animosity and frustrations there. Certain groups are making more than others and not doing as much. And this is just one other way for me personally to eliminate that concern, treat people equal across the board.
All right, listeners, we're talking about what is in the space of the old Pulteneyville Grill and taking a trip out to Pulteneyville in our Summer of Food conversation today. You're hearing Brian Van Etten, who is the man behind Swillies, which is the downstairs part of that space on Salmon Creek in Pulteneyville. It's about a half hour east of Rochester. Swillies is open when?
Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Friday and Saturdays we're doing noon to 8 right now. Sundays we're doing noon to when we run out of food.
Let me ask Peter, before we talk Owl House, I want to ask Peter and Deb, how many times have you been to Swillies?
At least 5.
And how many times have you gotten a lobster roll?
1.
Oh, only one.
I got down there too late 4 times.
Oh, yeah. I'm serious. Down there and
it's
gone.
Every time I'd go a little bit half hour earlier than I went before because they'd always say, oh, we just ran out. And it's like, okay, so next week I'll go, or next tomorrow I'll go a half hour. So finally it took 5 trips to get a lobster roll. And it was spectacular.
Was it spectacular?
It was really great, yeah.
It was worth it.
But the other thing I did is the other 4 times I had the seafood platter that you guys had, and it was spectacular, really delicious. All kinds of mixed grill, and so I didn't go hungry.
Deb, for you, when you look at that space and what's going on now, you know, I remember when Pulteneyville Grill, the posting came on Facebook, you know, going to be closed, and there were a lot of people going, whoa. You know, for, if you're not sort of in the know, you guys probably knew before most people it was going to happen, but it was a shock to some people who live out there. And it's not just a question of, well, is there going to be a restaurant there? I mean, that was a, kind of a focal point. And for a smaller community, how much does it matter that it's something fun, creative, special there?
Oh, it matters tremendously. We really miss the grill, and everybody is so excited to have these guys in town. And we're really hoping to give Swilly's a run for their money when we have our home tour. See if he can keep up with the lobster demand that day on September 9th.
You need a few extra, what do you call them, crates? What do you fly lobsters in?
They come in 30 each cases.
Cases.
So, yeah.
So it's a case, and one case of lobster is 30.
30 each, that's correct.
Okay. Do not read David Foster Wallace on the lobster before. Well, maybe. Really enjoy what you're getting there. So the home tour, by the way, that Deb's talking about is coming up when?
It's Saturday, September 9th.
So Saturday, September 9th, and if you want to go out to the home tour, what does it consist of? Take us through what's going on there.
Well, Pulteneyville has a lot of history. It has a designated historic district. And so we have 7 prominent homes. They're not all right in the hamlet. There are some outside of the hamlet, so it will require walking and driving. But there are also 4 other landmark buildings included. One that I'd like to mention is Gates Hall, which is a local theater that's celebrating 150 years of continuous theater this year. And so they're doing a special presentation the weekend of the home tour and the following weekend called, it's a play that was written for the Pulteneyville Gates Hall, and it's called Burned Over. So the day of the tour, that would be, you can make a whole day of it. You can have lunch at Swilly's. You can do the home tour. You can have dinner at the All House at the lake. And then you can stay on and go see the show at Gates Hall. So for the home tour, you can get tickets at w-phs.org. Tickets are $25, $30 the day of, so don't wait till that day.
Now hold on, 150 years of theater continuously?
Yes.
No break? Peter, is that what you were saying earlier? That's the longest run for any theater in America?
You know, and it's interesting because the building was actually built, and if you've been on Lake Road, you drive by it every time you go by, right by the corner. And it was originally built, and there were it was used as a church by 3 different denominations. And then it became used as a theater later on. But 150 years of continuous use. It's the oldest one in America. And that'll be one of the pieces that you'll be able to see. You know, and it's interesting because when we all drive through these little towns. And you drive through the towns and it's like, oh, man, that is a cool house. And oh, I would love to tour inside that house. And there are now 2 houses that have cannonballs from 1812. In 1812, the British actually attacked the town. The farmers pushed them back, and then they shelled the town from their ships in 1812. And so you've got all that history, and you have these beautiful houses. And so I'd love to see the house. Well, what they have done is put together 7 of those spectacular houses that you've always wanted to walk in and see, and you get to see every one of them. Plus, you get to go to the theater, plus everything else. It's really, the kind of thing that everybody wishes would happen, and it's happening on September 9th.
How much did you guys know about that history there, Brian, Jeff?
I knew a little bit. We were talking about it the other day, actually.
Not when we moved in there.
They're localizing you guys.
Yes, they are. You know, we had heard about the cannonball from somebody.
My mom told me about the cannonball.
What a great story.
And here's an interesting story. Tom and Sherry Watson, who owned the restaurant between the two of us, he was actually digging a hole to plant trees on his property. And he's got a great lake view. He's very close to the lake. And he was digging a hole with his tractor, and all of a sudden it jammed. And he lifted it up and pulled it out, and there was literally a cannonball with chains on it, because the Brits would use those to shoot through the masts and the sails and things to set them on fire, and literally found one in his yard. So that's now obviously part of the house and part of the history. But that's the second cannonball that has now been found in another. But the history of this town goes back, and it's a friendly town. It's just a good old-fashioned friendly town. People, I would say that probably a fourth of the people in town are involved in arts in some way, whether it's painting or metalwork or sculpture or things like that. And then there's a great store, Nan, in the gallery that's with you guys. She does a great job of showing all the local art and making it available. It gives the artists a venue to sell their art.
Sure.
So it's a wonderful community. We've been there 29 years, and we call that a good start.
A good start. Talking about Pulteneyville. And by the way, Deb, one more time, if people want to do the home tour, what's the way to plan for it?
They can go online to W-PHS, which stands for Williamson Pulteneyville Historical Society, .org, and they can get tickets there, or they can mail into the addresses online, so they can get that there.
WPHS.org. To learn more about the home tour coming up here on September 9th, I think you said. Yep. Is that right?
Correct.
September 9th coming up here. It's the Summer of Food, talking about Pulteneyville, the closing of the Pulteneyville Grill, and the rise of a couple of establishments, Swilly's and Owl House on the Lake. That's really on the creek, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is right on Salmon Creek with a look.
I'm so pedantic. It's exactly what you wanted to answer. It was the first question.
Absolutely,
on the Owl House.
Yeah.
Now, remind people how long the Owl House in Rochester has been open.
We just celebrated our 7th anniversary, actually, last week.
Wow, that blows by.
Yeah.
And the Owl House in Rochester, for me, has one of the most interesting menus, because if you are vegan, you can go there and get awesome creative food. Mm-hmm. If you love meat, you can go get things like Mac and Quack and all kinds of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
and the menu is always interesting. So we're going to get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back and talk about how much Jeff envisions the Owl House in Pulteneyville, Owl House on the Lake, essentially being an exact iteration. Is there going to be a change? What the plans are? How it's been going? Everyone wanted you to be open yesterday, mm-hmm. and then the day before that. There's always pressure to get going.
Sure.
So we're going to talk about all of that with Jeff from the Owl House, the new location out in Pulteneyville at Owl House on the Lake. You can find them on Facebook and learn more there. Your hours are when, by the way?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. to start.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whereas it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Swilly's, which is downstairs if you want to eat there. Brian Van Etten from Swilly's is here. Peter and Deb Parts are... they're really Pulteneyvillians who are here and sharing all the great stories of Pulteneyville as well. And let's get that break. We'll come right back here and continue the conversation in the Summer of Food on Connections. Now let me tell you about what's coming up Friday on the next Connections. We're talking about housing as a human right. The Homeless Services Network of Rochester is hosting a symposium next month focusing on skill-building opportunities and resources that help reduce homelessness in our community. We'll get a preview of that conference and talk about homelessness in our area. Then in our second area, this may be the year that New York doesn't finally hold a constitutional convention. Should we not? We'll talk about the process, the possible outcomes, what it all means tomorrow. All right, welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Every Thursday at 1 p.m. this summer, it's the Summer of Food. I don't want to say it's winding down, but we're on the second half of it, and fall is coming. So if you've missed any Summer of Food conversations, we've got them archived for you, wxxinews.org/connections. And really enjoyed the conversations we've been having today. We're having a lot of fun finding out what's going on in Pulteneyville. And Jeff Ching from the Owl House, 7 years in Rochester, and just launched your first night open out in Pulteneyville was just when, Jeff?
A week ago Friday.
A week ago Friday. So you've only had a few days open. How you
Correct.
Feeling about it?
It's been, good. It's like any opening that you experience your highs and your lows. You laugh, you cry. It's intense, but it went really well.
I love the fact that you said you laugh, you cry, because I remember Brian, were you the one who said on a past show that you remember an opening where you physically cried?
Every opening.
Oh, every, opening. So, you get through that first night, and now do you feel like you're kind of moving into a groove, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the first weekend was really a soft opening, and it gave us a chance to realize we forgot to buy steak knives, we forgot coffee creamers, so really anywhere from there we could go was up, so we But it was good, and you know, we worked out some of the small issues, and I think you know, tonight we're gonna have another slower evening, hopefully, but we'll ramp it up and just progress from there.
You're open tonight.
Yep.
Tonight. Oh, Peter and Deb are saying they're going tonight. Open when to when?
That's right.
Five. Dinner starts at 5. We close the kitchen at 10 p.m.
Okay. And so what's the easiest way to find you? I know you mentioned you're on Facebook. Is that it right now, or is there where else would you go?
And we're working on a dedicated website for the Pulteneyville location, but on the Rochester website, owlhouserochester.com, we have some information about making reservations.
How much do the menus line up?
There's some core items that are the same. Like, we have the buffalo collie wings on both menus.
So this is a summer food. Let's get down on the weeds here. Let's get into it. So
sure.
On both menus, you mentioned the buffalo collie wings, which are what?
So that's it's cauliflower florets that are tossed in a little bit of cornstarch and fried and tossed in, you know, kind of that Western New York buffalo sauce.
We had that. That was great.
Yeah.
It's really delicious.
It was something that actually, when Brian put it on the Owl House menu, we thought it was going to be kind of a seasonal dish or temporarily, and we took it off, and there was a big pushback for it. So it became a permanent staple on our menu. So that's out there. You know, they're similar. We wanted it to be an evolution of the existing Owl House menu. So we wanted to cater to our core clientele, which is people of all different diets, but we wanted to make it something special for the community in Pulteneyville, too.
Okay. So what else is on the menu?
We have a steak. We're buying steak from, we're trying to work with Schrader Farms or Headwater for a local fillet and a rotating steak cut. We have a fish special that will change weekly. We have a squid ink pasta. And then we have a vegan fish fry on Friday nights.
So. A vegan fish fry.
Mm-hmm. So I believe that's a tofu base right now, but we have vegan crab cakes. So it's a.
You have to say it's vegan, not crab cakes.
You're right. Yeah, not crab cakes. Yeah.
Vegan, not fish fry.
Yeah.
But bottom line, sort of presented the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And Owl House for me is one of the first places that friends who are vegan said, you should go there. And you know, we've seen in the last decade, vegan dining go much more mainstream to the point where, you know, it's not sort of an outlier, or we'll just toss a dish on there. You know, it's friends who are vegan would say, go to the Owl House and just order vegan and just realize that the food is creative and awesome. And, you know, that was
sure.
Among the very first for me. How much of your customer base do you think, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever tried to figure that out?
You know, we try to think about it. It's hard to put a number on it, but I think it's probably in the 40% range.
Mm-hmm.
Are vegan or vegetarian. It's interesting because I think if you read a lot of reviews online or the feedback we get from some people who aren't familiar with Owl House, they think it's an exclusively vegan restaurant, and they don't realize that we have, you know, we have a lot of different offerings for many people, which was really the point of it. We wanted, when we opened, it was difficult to find a restaurant where you could go out with friends who had dietary needs, and everyone could get something that was thoughtful and well-made.
Absolutely. So. Let me grab a phone call as we talk about what's going on in Pulteneyville. This is John in Parenton. Go ahead, John.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Williamson, and as a young child, our family used to go to the little cove in Pulteneyville at the mouth of Salmon Creek. It's a beautiful little cove with it's a rocky beach, but a lot of stones to skip, and we spent many Sunday afternoons there. It used to be public access. There's a marker there on the rock that a lot of people know about, and a historic marker. Some way after I graduated, I came back to Pulteneyville once for some sort of celebration or something, and I saw that it was no longer public. The yacht club had claimed it somehow. And they had no longer had public access. And I wondered how that could ever happen to a natural cove like that, which had been public for many years. And I wondered what legislation was involved, how it could happen, because that's taken away from Pulteneyville and the community a wonderful natural resource, and also is a place where the Indians and traders used to swap furs. So has a lot of history, but not open to you and I.
All right, John, thanks for the phone call. Peter, know anything about that?
Not really. I think what happened when the original owner who owned all that whole big piece of property, when they passed, I think it got divided up and rented out in different pieces. And I think, as what happens sometimes, people were concerned about the what might happen if there were any accidents. And I think it was restricted to members of the club because they bought insurance to cover that. I think that's probably what happened. But it's still, like he was talking about, the stone is still there and the plaques, and there's actually more historic markers and things there if you walk through.
Okay. And in a moment, I'll get kind of back to what you can do if you want to plan a day out there. And yeah. if you can't make it out for the home tour. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is there's a huge park right around the corner, Foreman's Park. And so I'd highly recommend that folks, if they would, you know, you've got a huge beach area right there, not really for swimming, but he's talking about skipping stones, you can throw them to Canada.
If you've got the right skipping
technique. That's right. If your name's Tom Seaver.
On Twitter, Lauren says, yes, read David Foster Wallace's Consider the Lobster. Swillies, the Owl House, has a vegan lobster roll. So once again, it's a vegan, not lobster roll, right?
Yeah, it's tofu-based. We make it kind of the same way we toss our lobster meat in, and it's served on the same griddled bun. Keith at Flower City, they make us a vegan bun version. So, you know, it's the same type of experience that we were looking to recreate from the time that the kitchen manager, Christian, and I had spent. He's originally from the New England area. Basically, everyone that works or has ownership stakes at the Playhouse in Swillburger has spent a considerable time if they're not from the Boston area. So this was an attempt to recreate some of the experiences we've had up there. So trying to provide that for the upstate New Yorkers, not strictly limited to the omnivorous types, but offering vegetarians the same option to experience that.
Under the headline, Swillies and Tipping, Kat writes to the program and says, when I went a couple of weeks ago, I had a lobster roll and it was delicious. Also dog friendly, which we loved. And the staff told me they are pooling their tips to buy a boat by the end of the summer, which I thought was so fun. Is that true?
The original idea was that it was going to be a crowdfunded boat share where anyone who puts a dollar in gets a key to the boat. And hopefully by the end of the year, we could buy a nice yacht to park at the yacht club. But that, you know, subsequently, we've done some research, and we might be able to get a 10-foot aluminum boat with an outboard motor if we're lucky. But that is honestly the plan. We were
how about a canoe?
The kitchen, Christian in the kitchen. We were doing some research to buy this aluminum boat. We're on the market, so if you know anybody selling it,
call down in Jamestown. Call Dawson Metal. It's my family's business, and they are one of the best makers of metal canoes that you will ever find. And there's even one at the bottom of Chautauqua Lake that we used to canoe across the lake and crash the beach at the Chautauqua Institution when I was a counselor. Ooh. Just so my campers didn't have to pay the entry fee.
Excellent.
Until we had a camper stand up in a canoe, which you should not do. And it did flip, and the campers were just fine, but the canoe was not. So the canoe is down there, and I will fish it out and bring it to you. And if not, you can call Dawson Metal in Jamestown. They will send you one, because I imagine that creek, I'm just looking at this picture, that creek looks like the exact place that I would love to kayak. Are you there allowed to kayak?
Yeah. Yes, you are. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll actually kayak from the house down in through this, under the bridge, and then back. It's a spectacular place to kayak. And you guys have got a big parking lot, so people could bring their kayaks down, mm-hmm. obviously have lunch, have dinner, go kayaking.
Mm-hmm. How far is it from the lake?
300 feet.
Oh, it's that close?
Yeah.
Oh, so it really is.
The Owl House. You can see the Pulteneyville Mariners beach. Yeah.
Okay, so Owl House on the lake really is on the lake.
From the restaurant, you can see the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can hear the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just joining us here, as we talk about what's going on in Pulteneyville, I've got to get a way to get that picture online. Maybe our producer, Megan Mack, can come in here and take a picture of the picture, which is always a great way. No, it's fine. I just want you to see it on Twitter. So if you follow us, it is this beautiful shot of Pulteneyville. If you haven't been there, Peter Parts, remind our listeners, since you're out there all the time, these transplants get used to driving, I'm sure. I'll ask them first. What's the fastest you can do, Rochester to Pulteneyville?
For me, it's 35 minutes.
Okay, Brian?
For me, speed is not what I'm looking for. I'm not even kidding. Every time I go up there, I take a different route because the commute is half of the joy of working up there. It's unbelievable. You said, oh, you can scoot up 104. Get off of 104. Make any left off of 104. Go up to the lake. Make a right. You can't miss it. So typically, it'll take me 40 minutes more. I'll take Atlantic all the way to 350. Take that north. Oh, don't get off 104. It's garbage.
You're exactly. Come in 104, get off on Bay Road or Holt Road, and get down. I mean, just head north, get off in the lake, turn right. And so anywhere between 32 and 45 minutes, depending on the scenic route or the fast route.
And by the way, Brian, Jeff has a tight schedule. He's got things to do. He
Jeff's
can't take
always
the scenic
late.
Route all the time. So it's out in Pulteneyville. And Peter and Deb, give us a day plan. For people who have never been out there, we are thinking about taking an afternoon. Now, as Deb has told you, Saturday, September 9th is the Pulteneyville Tour of Homes. And you can do that. But if you cannot get out there on September 9th and you want to spend a day in Pulteneyville, maybe have lunch at Swilly's and dinner at the Owl House, but what are you going to fit in between? What would you do?
Well, the museum is right across the way. And so you've got to stop at the Williamson Pulteneyville Museum. And there's a lot of stuff. There's actually a three-masted schooner that's sunk in about 60, 70 feet of water. And there are a lot of materials from, it's called the St. Pete, a lot of materials in the history museum there, plus a lot of other history around there. So it's a fun museum to go through it and to see. And then you've got Foreman Park, so easy to go to Foreman Park, a lot of fun. It's an easy drive right down to Sodus Point to do a loop and come back, maybe go to the other side of Sodus Point.
Yeah, what's the drive to Sodus Point from Pulteneyville?
It's actually 13 miles.
Okay, piece
so
of cake.
So very quick, yeah. Very easy. Yeah. In fact, when I was training for the marathon, I actually walked from Pulteneyville to Sodus Point.
13 miles. So Jeff gets there in 10 minutes, Brian, 25. Yeah.
Or longer.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sodus Point is right there, do a loop. And what is the dunes? What's the name of the park on the other side?
Chimney Bluffs.
Chimney Bluffs.
Yeah,
Chimney
right
Bluffs
there.
Is fabulous.
And then so you do that and then come back down and have dinner at Owl House. But you need to fortify yourself with lobster before you start this.
Yeah, so you better call the lobster hotline. Yeah. Again, if you missed that earlier this hour, Swilly's has been open for how many weeks have you been open?
I think this is our sixth week.
Okay, so 1 month in, they figure out that lobster is just, it's going to be gone. In fact, probably several days in. And so there's a lobster hotline that you can call just to know that if you're going to go all the way to Pulteneyville, which isn't that far, you can still get lobster. Deb, what are you doing? Anything we missed in the afternoon there?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want you to miss. We have a winery, Young Summer Winery.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And really, and I say this as someone who writes a lot about wine, people are very serious about it and do very good work there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, Embark Craft Cidery is there in Lagner Farms.
Lagner Farms is not far away in Williamson.
Yeah.
Right so,
there, yeah.
Especially if you're going in the fall, you've got a family. Lagner Farms, they've got like the apple target practice and cool stuff that they do there. And it's really, really family fun there. So, okay.
Yeah. And the title of our home tour, Beauty and Bounty, the bounty is all about all of the fruit that's grown around there. And so there are tons of farm markets to visit, that kind of thing. So it should be a great day for anyone.
There you go. So Swilly's for lunch. You're either going out to Chimney Bluff. Maybe you stop at a farm market, hit Lagner. Maybe it's just a little nibble of something sweet. Owl House for dinner. And, you know, I'm sure you can find ice cream at other places. I remember years ago at Owl House having, do you still do like a avocado chocolate dessert? Is that?
From time to time. We don't always have it on, an avocado base.
So I'm not crazy though, right?
Right. No. This is avocado chocolate mousse.
Avocado chocolate mousse. Mm-hmm. What's on the menu now for dinner, for dessert?
We primarily have Scratch Bake Shop on Park Ave bake most of our desserts, and we usually try to have an offering of two or three choices from them, like a tiered layer cake, a cheesecake, you know, whatever else they can do.
Scratch is one of these. I think their cookies are at Ugly Duck Coffee.
Yeah.
And I always get a cookie because I'm going to eat half. And then I eat half, and I have my willpower can fill a thimble. And then I eat the other half, and then it feels like I have eaten a chocolate chip anvil, and that I need to get out for a long run as fast as I can. But it is irresistible. So Scratch is doing a lot of the desserts there. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we got a few minutes left, and I want to reset for you what we've been talking about. Out in Pulteneyville, the grill is something that Peter and Deb owned the grill for how long? How long did you open?
We had it for about 3 years.
For about 3 years. And, yeah. And what's the history of that building in Pulteneyville Grill before it closed here?
I believe that it goes back to the 1800s, the late 1800s. And actually, in Pulteneyville, there were two shipbuilding businesses that were there during the time, back during the sale times. And so the building, when we moved there about 35 years ago, was a bait shop. And Dave Letter, the fellow who redid it, spent, I think, well over $1 million and basically
wow.
cut the building, jacked it up. There was no foundation, and really did absolutely everything he could to contain and keep the spirit of the building, but architecturally make it work, and then put the restaurants and the pieces in that you guys are using.
Wow.
And I think I speak for everybody in the town. Everybody was so excited to see you guys come. And so everybody's hoping for the best. And with 40 in line, we'll see if we can't make it 50 or 60 on the home tour day.
I love it.
And Peter, a bait shop when you got there,
yeah.
I mean, what was it over the years? Do you know?
Actually, there was a diving shop in there. And when I say diving, there was gear in there. It used to be hanging from the ceiling. Remember the large helmets that you used to see? There was a diving business that was done out of there in Lake Ontario. Hmm. So, I mean, that's how far it goes back. It's been there a long, long time.
The Democrat and Chronicle, and again, Tracy Schumacher has written some really nice things about what Jeff and Brian are doing. She mentioned, I think, fewer than 700 people in the hamlet of Pulteneyville.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, Deb talked a little bit about this, but Peter, to you, how significant is it that space was not only filled, but filled by creative people who have really high standards?
I think spectacularly significant. You know, and not only that, but like I said before, it's really an artist community. It's a lot of fun. And the people that are there are very interesting people. It's fun to go down to the Owl House, to the bar, and just listen to the conversations and things that are going on. And it's basically the local watering hole. People have been waiting for this to open since Tom and Sherry closed it. We're ecstatic that they brought it back. And Tom and Sherry did a great job. I mean, they really took it from a little bit to, you know, really carried it. And I think that's why so many people are so happy that you're back.
Yeah, you can tell they did a tremendous job with the restaurant, the grill, as they operated it.
Yeah.
And they were so helpful through the transition even, you know,
yeah.
just kind of passing the torch and just wonderful people.
Yeah,
I imagine they are excited to see the life that is in it, and that it didn't sit vacant especially this time of year, which is so critical to it. You're right. Going down there, Peter, and you can only get one drink at the Owl House. What are you going to get?
Cold beer.
They have, every time I've ever been to the Owl House, you can get a cold beer. You can get some of the most interesting craft cocktails, and they always have short, funky, fun wine lists. So, what's the plan out in Pulteneyville?
It's the same. I mean, the same goal out there. Charles Snyder, our general manager, he handles our wine list, so it's going to be, you know, similar to what we have here. I think we're trying to. A lot of people have talked about the Pulteneyville community or the greater Williamson area as a more of a bread and meat and potatoes area. So we're trying to be a little aware of that and bring some wines that people might recognize, at least the grapes. But
yeah.
We're still going to have some of the funky stuff that you might find at the yeah. Owl House in Rochester.
I think we had a couple white wines when we were there this past weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a limited list this past weekend. We couldn't get all of our, because we just got our liquor license last week. We couldn't get everything in time for the Friday night. But this week we should have everything in stock. So we're going to have another 8 to 10 cocktails on the menu. And we have 5 draft lines for craft beer.
You had some great craft beers too.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice.
Yeah. And cider as well on draft.
Who creates the craft menu, or the craft cocktail menu?
Bart Murdoch is our bar manager at the Owl House, and so he worked on the cocktail list for Pulteneyville. And then Jay Rogers, he's actually does the craft beer for Playhouse and Owl House. He handles all the beer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we have the cocktail revival, it's easy to remember every spring just what a cocktail and a real craft cocktail town Rochester's become.
Mm-hmm.
Playhouse has got this amazing bar, tremendous people. Owl House is always interesting. What do you love to drink? Do you ever get a moment to sit down at the Owl House and say, I'm just going to have a drink?
Sometimes,
that's a no.
You know,
that's a
yeah,
no.
not usually not at the ever. Owl House. Sometimes, I mean, I had a drink after the service on Friday night, and but it depends. You know, I really I like wine a lot, but I don't know enough about it, but I enjoy it. Usually my go-to, though, is an old-fashioned for a cocktail.
Hmm. Brian, what about you?
I'm sober 6 years, so my favorite drinks involve non-alcoholic beers, which Jay at the Playhouse has actually been bringing in some really incredible products. Bitburger Drive is incredible, but right now I'm just like everyone else in Rochester, I'm on the Polar Seltzer craze, and there's flavor after flavor, limited edition. Oh, it's incredible.
Well, thank you, and thanks for not making me feel terrible about asking that question.
Absolutely not. No, it's probably the thing I'm most proud about of my entire life.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. That's great. That's beautiful. And it's been a great hour. Got a minute left here, so let's remind you of a couple of things. The Pulteneyville Home Tour is coming up. The Tour of Homes is Saturday, September 9th. Deb, people want to get more information or make sure they can go where to do that?
Yes, online, w-phs.org, or they could call 315-589-9892. Leave a message and we'll get right back to you.
W-phs.org. That's the Williamson-Pulteneyville Historical Society for Saturday, September 9th, the Tour of Homes. And as Peter Parts told you, the kind of homes you drive by and you go, that looks so cool.
I'd love
now
to see the inside.
Now you get to go in it and
check it out.
Yeah. And Jeff, people want to go to the Owl House. You guys are open out in Pulteneyville now. Mm-hmm. When to when? That's going to be the case for the rest of the summer? Is this kind of a set schedule now, or what's the deal?
For the rest of the summer, if we can add more hours, we will. But right now it's Thursday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Find you where? Get reservations where?
www.owlhouserochester.com online. And actually the Swillies hotline. Lobster Hotline doubles as a reservation.
I love that. You know the number off the top of your head?
315-409. I don't know the rest.
I have to do all your self-promotion for you. This is just a disaster. Where is that number? Oh, we'll find that. There's too many notes here. Brian, Swillies is open when?
Fridays, Saturdays, 12 to 8. Sundays, 12 until we run out.
12 until we run out.
Call the hotline.
Somewhere in my notes is a hotline. How many seconds do I have left? Can I? I have it. There it is. According to the Democrat and Chronicle, it's 315-904-4138.
Sounds right.
315-904-4138. It's the summer of food. Jeff and Brian, congratulations on what you're doing in Pulteneyville.
Thank you.
Half an hour east of Rochester. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Peter and Deb Parts, thank you. See you for the tour of homes on the night.
Absolutely.
All right, have a great afternoon. Talk to you Friday.